Had a weird morning to start my day anyway, or week. I got up early. A lot of work to do on a short week. It's Monday. Walked to the train. Just about to the train, realized I left my wallet at home with my everything I need to get on the train. Walked back. On the way, spilled coffee all over all the documents I was carrying in a bag. It was not a good day. But here I am, chipper and able as ever. And however badly my day started, however bad your day is, it's probably not as bad as Mike Madigan's day is today, or should be. Maybe he doesn't have a care in the world. Speaker of the House for the Illinois Legislature. Here's a headline in the Tribune. Feds draw near House Speaker Mike Madigan as key confidant weighs cooperation choice others have faced in Illinois corruption cases. It's a Jason Meisner, Ray Long story. And it mostly focuses on this Michael McLean guy, 73-year-old, the Speaker's buddy. Now, Speaker Madigan has a well-honed, I'm reading from the article now, reputation for caution. He avoids phone calls. He avoids email conversations. He leaves much of the day-to-day business of politics to a trusted circle of advisors. If there's no direct evidence of Madigan's participation in this bribery scheme that we've all been hearing about, any case against him could hinge on the testimony of an insider. Similar scenarios have certainly played out in the past. The prosecution of former Republican Governor George Ryan got a decided boost from the testimony of a top aide. Remember Scott Faywell? Who flipped on his boss after investigators put the squeeze on his finances over, I'm not reading this well. I'll do that sentence again. The prosecution of former Republican Governor George Ryan got a decided boost from the testimony of top aide Scott Faywell, who flipped on his boss after investigators put the squeeze on his fiance over her own legal troubles. Blagojevich had a buddy named Lon Monk who turned on him. So there's this 50-page indictment that lays out in detail how McLean allegedly quarterbacked the operation, this bribery scheme for Mike Madigan, who himself is 78 and has repeatedly denied any wrongdoing. Had I known about it, he says, I would have made every effort to put a stop to it. I wanted to talk to Austin Berg one more time about this. You may have heard him with Steve Bertrand the other day on the Chicago Afternoon News here on WGN. He's the vice president of marketing at the Illinois Policy Institute, about as astute an observer of the Illinois and Chicago political and legal scene as anybody. Austin, welcome back. How are you?
Thanks, John. As an astute observer, I would say that's the greatest introduction to a Madigan story I've ever heard, spilling coffee all over documents and having that be just as bad as his day. I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Yeah, but, you know, in my case, I got some coffee on my documents. Are people, like, weighing, betting as a percentage, saying, what are the chances that he's going to lose his speakership or he's going to lose his office or he's going to go to jail? I mean, how bad is this for Mike Madigan?
It's unprecedented in terms of how vulnerable he is and how vulnerable his power is. And it's unprecedented because for the first time, he appears not to have control of the rank and file members of the Democratic caucus in the Illinois House. We've seen 18 House members say that they will not vote for Madigan for speaker. The record is one person per year, per General Assembly, not voting present for speaker. 18 is unprecedented, and that would deny him the 60 votes he needs to become speaker. And that's the most important vote in the state for Mike Madigan, is the vote for speaker. The second most important vote is the one that comes right after. That's the House rules.
Why do you say that?
It's really the pillar of his power is the House speakership. That comes from the rules, the House rules. It comes from the money that he gets as chairman of the Democratic Party that he doles out, and it comes from the map that he will draw if he is still remains speaker next year. So if he's denied the speakership, it's as big of a deal for the people of Illinois, in my opinion, as if he were indicted.
So he wouldn't be content to just be a run-of-the-mill representative from the, southwest side of Chicago?
Well, he may look to his friend Ed Burke for what that type of lifestyle looks like. You'll remember Ed Burke was sort of the dean of the Chicago City Council for 50 years, was indicted and was still reelected, but really wields no significant power in the city council. I have a very hard time believing that Madigan would stay in office if he loses the speakership.
Yeah, right. And the power that he wields then, you talked about the money, the influence, and the drawing of the map. You're talking about gerrymandering there?
Yeah, exactly. So Madigan first rose to power in 1983, and that was right after the 1980 census where he drew the map. And that was his first big political splash, was Mike Madigan's map. And a lot of the Democrats in Springfield in 1983 owed their seats to his map. And since then, he's drawn the maps in three of the last four decades. It allows him to punish his enemies and reward his allies. And that's something that should be fixed in Illinois. There's a bipartisan constitutional amendment that would establish independent map-making, not political map-making, that everybody in Springfield should support and Governor Pritzker should support. And it's a huge part of what the speaker vote is going to be. Will they reelect Madigan because they're afraid of him keeping power and drawing them out of their districts, right?
But but suppose that it wasn't Madigan. Some other Democrat would draw the map, and it could be just as ingenious and helpful to Democrats as a Madigan map, right? I mean, what do they care if he draws it as long as it gets drawn to their advantage?
That's the key point in all of this, and it's really tempting to focus on the personality rather than the power. And the point is, you can't just say get rid of Madigan as speaker. Now, there are lots of power structures that are personal to him that would come down and would benefit the people of Illinois if he were not to be speaker. But the powers granted to him corrupt absolutely. And that includes the power to draw maps, includes the power to essentially veto any bill, decide which bills get called for a hearing, who votes on them, so on and so forth. He's the most powerful House Speaker in the nation because of those procedural rules. You have to fix the rules as well, or else you're just inviting another Madigan. You're inviting more concentrated power in Springfield.
And how does that work? Whoever the party in power is gets to draw the map? Boy, that sounds like a bad plan. I mean, that is the very definition of partisanship as opposed to, I don't know, democracy or fairness or something.
It should be phrased as bringing democracy back to the Illinois House. Right now, it's one-man rule. And whoever the next speaker is, it would continue to be that unless representatives not only stand up to Madigan, they stand up for democracy in the House. That means open hearings on bills, that there's a vote on, you know, when bills are heard, very basic things that ensure one person can't dominate everything. Yeah. And that definitely includes the map.
Does the map have to have the same number of people roughly in each district, though?
Yes. And there's lots of federal rules, too, about how it needs to be fair. Yeah.
But what's the famous congressional district in Chicago? Is it the second? I saw it not that long ago, and it's the bizarrest looking piece of real estate you've ever seen. Long and wrapping around, has no coherence, doesn't geographically look like it would represent any constituency because it's just this whipped around thing. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, definitely. And there's many Chicago City Council wards that are drawn in an absurd way for the same reason. It's to draw the incumbent out of their own house, which has happened before in central Illinois. It's to get certain demographic or ethnic interests packed into one place or spread out, dispersed over different places. Mm-hmm. So it's this entirely political process that has nothing to do with democracy. In Iowa, they use a computer. The computer draws the maps, and lawmakers approve it.
Wow! Really?
And you could do a very similar, easy, transparent process in Illinois.
Well, that's why I asked, because I thought, well, you could just lay a grid on the state, but then it might not capture enough people downstate versus upstate. So now you've got to shape it for the more densely populated areas. But I suppose some computer could figure out something that looks reasonable, huh?
Yeah, and you want to make sure, and the biggest criticism of the independent maps movement, which is very, very popular throughout Illinois, is people worried about minority representation, and you don't want to dilute minority communities' voting power. And the problem with that argument is it's a false choice, because Mike Madigan himself, his first map was thrown out by a federal court because it unconstitutionally diluted the voting strength of black voters on Chicago's south and west sides. So to think that politically drawn maps are somehow more fair to minority voters than an independently drawn map is just not true.
I don't exactly understand the fairness or logic of that, though, to be honest with you, Austin. Austin Berg's on a phone line, Vice President, Marketing, Illinois Policy Institute, frequent commenter on the political scene in Chicago and Illinois, and part of the Mincing Rascals podcast team. If, say, on the southwest side you had a pocket of African-Americans or Hispanic-Americans, you could say, all right, let's draw a district that captures them so that they have representation. But you could also say, let's split that in the middle so that they have representation in two districts. I'm not trying to exclude them. I wonder if that doesn't increase their power base. And you could say, well, all right, maybe we'll do two-thirds and one-third. But either way, it's a subjective calculation then. So I'm not exactly sure what quote-unquote fair is. And is it fair to say, well, let's go ahead and capture a certain group so that they'll, you know, have a voice, sure, but maybe it sort of concentrates their numbers where they don't really exist. Maybe they get more power as a result. I could see the pros and cons of all of this.
And that can be figured out in courts after the fact, too. Like, there's a really robust system for challenging whether or not a map is fair based on, like, ethnic representation and reasons like that. The problem is you have folks like recently indicted John Hooker, the longtime ComEd CEO, head of government affairs, essentially. He was the plaintiff challenging a constitutional amendment that would have allowed for independent mapmaking in Illinois. Madigan's lawyer actually sued to get that kicked off of the ballot. And the reasons they used, the public-facing reasons, were, oh, we are protecting the voices of people of color, when in fact it was all about protecting power. And those voices can be protected in an independent way rather than in a political way.
Austin, I think my problem with, what you say sounds reasonable. And whenever you talk to us, I always think, oh, Austin's got it. We'll do whatever Austin said. But then Eric Zorn comes on and says something completely different, and then I feel that way. But anyway, I think my problem, though, with Mike Madigan is maybe some of the things you've detailed, but it's that he's unlikable. He's this smug, distant, authoritative Oz behind the curtain who, to me, does not talk to the people of Illinois. It's all about him and not about us. I don't like that. So now I don't like Mike Madigan. Let's get rid of Mike Madigan. I'm not sure if that's the best way for me to decide about the speakership of the House.
Agreed. And I think Eric and I would probably agree on almost everything we've talked about here in terms of independent maps and the problem with Madigan. Imagine if Madigan was really likable. I don't think I would. Illinoisans should care. They should care about the results and whether they're getting fair and meaningful representation in Springfield. And when you give one person so much power, through the House rules, through the map, through allowing him to be party chairman, through allowing him to have a property tax law firm, that person's not going to make choices in the best interest of Illinoisans. And that absolute power is going to corrupt, absolutely. And that's what we've seen.
So if I'm him, knowing that all of that power is going to make me a target, if nothing else, right? I would be nicer. I'd tell jokes. I'd go on radio shows. I'd be on Chicago Tonight every Thursday. You know, I'd find a way to sort of pave the way for me. Because right now, a lot of people are licking their chops at the opportunity for him to go down.
And John, you would think so, but you should, and you would love this book, and everyone listening should go out and buy it. It's called Don't Make No Waves, Don't Back No Losers. And it was an inside story of the Daily Machine published in the 70s. And that phrase, don't make no waves, don't back no losers, was just as important as we don't want nobody, nobody sent. And what it means is you aren't the person in the spotlight. You're not on Chicago Tonight. You're not making controversial decisions. You're not a big boogeyman figure. You stay in the shadows. You don't want people to know you're making all of these decisions because if they do, if that spotlight is shown on you, you are vulnerable. And what we've seen in the last 5 years in Illinois is that the spotlight on Madigan has just grown hotter and hotter and hotter as the state's circumstances have gotten worse and worse and worse. And the feds took note, and he's clearly the center of this massive investigation.
For all we know, he doesn't care because he's solid. The Democrats in the House keep making him the speaker. So what's going to move them off that dime? How does this change?
It starts with the bravery of the 18 House Democrats who have said that they will not vote for him. And beyond that, it starts with the people in those districts who have reached out and respectfully told their lawmaker, you have a vote on my behalf on whether Madigan should be speaker, and none of us think it's a good idea. You should not vote for him. Vote for anybody else for Speaker of the House. And right now, that appears to be working. He does not have the votes he needs, so people should make sure that their representative doesn't flip. And if they haven't called on him to step down as Speaker or called on their representative to vote against him, they should do so. That vote is in January, so it's coming up quickly.
And then when they're up for re-election and Madigan now backs with his money and his machine somebody to run against them in the primary, then they need to remember that sort of pact they've made with their representative who voted against him for speakership, right?
That's right. And not only the speakership, we got to remember the House rules. If you install someone else with those same powers, they're going to be corrupted just as much as Mike Madigan and will in due time be equally hated. So it's not just the person, it's the power.
Boy, you are so off his Christmas card list, Austin Berg. Does he know who you are?
He tried to depose me in court for our documentary that we made, which you can view at michaelmadigan.com. So maybe his lawyer certainly knows.
You own michaelmadigan.com? You have that URL?
Yeah, he's so old school that he did not purchase his own name as a URL.
So if you're just clicking around going, who is this Michael Madigan? I don't know, I'll try michaelmadigan.com. Everybody owns their name. No, Austin has it. What is the name of your book, Austin? Talk about a good, smart read on the way the city of Chicago works. What's that?
That's called The New Chicago Way, Lessons from Other Big Cities, and you can get it on Amazon or from Southern Illinois University Press.
Nice to talk to you, Austin. Thanks for your time.
Thanks so much, John.